Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from Rome, right from the press conference where Quentin Tarantino just presented Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to the Italian audience, with him to introduce the film, Leonardo DiCaprio and Margot Robbie. Listen to what the director said about his 10th film. How does it feel to look at these series and films right now in 2019?
Well, some of the movies we talk about in this film, I actually saw in 69. Or maybe I saw them in 1970 and the lower half of a double feature, because, you know, movies could hang around for a year in the theaters back then. So, like, in the case of... The Wrecking Crew. I saw that. I saw that when it came out, when I was six, and it was actually interesting. I remember I obviously knew who Dean Martin was because I was already a fan of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis movies, and he was just one of the biggest celebrities in the world at that time. Everyone knew who he was, even 6 year olds. I went and saw. My parents took me to see it, and I was completely taken with Sharon Tate in that movie. If you've ever seen the movie, she gives a very funny performance. She plays this kind of klutzy secret agent, and she was she had a gift as a light comedian that was actually pretty good. And it was even fun watching her kind of execute these pratfalls and execute this kind of slapstick comedy. Well, as a six-year-old, you love slapstick comedy. That's probably your favorite thing in the world. Right? So to see this cute girl actually just stumble and fall and trip and fall into mud and all this, never kind of lose her aplomb, it was completely charming. I was totally taken with her. And the movie actually ends with a great gag at the end that just ends the whole movie. It brought the house down. I'm telling you, I remember sitting at the Garfield Theater in San Gabriel, and it brought the effing house down. And I also did, I think, was part of the inspiration for me writing kind of the scene with Margot. I actually did exactly what Sharon does in the movie. When the film was out, oddly enough, the theater that I was at had a patio similar to the Bruin. And so I liked her so much that when me and my parents walked out of the theater, I went to the poster to look to see who that was. And I looked at the lobby cards, and they were the same lobby cards I used. And I'm like, oh, who was Miss Carlson? You know, and they go, oh, it was Sharon Tate. Oh, okay, cool. You know, she's in Valley of the Dolls. And I'd not seen Valley of the Dolls, but I knew of it. Everyone was talking about that movie at that time. And so now, I think The Wrecking Crew is an asinine movie now. It's really silly. Now, I'm actually a huge fan of the director, Phil Carlson. I just don't like that movie that much. I think it's a little silly. But she's just as charming and just as terrific as she ever was. And I'm also really, as I always felt. But even I even like the idea that we show the clip of the movie in itself. So I like seeing Sharon Tate and Nancy Kwan, who I'm a huge Nancy Kwan fan too, to just pop up in the middle of the movie and have a fight scene choreographed by Bruce Lee. I think that's just a really lovely thing.
Here in Italy, we all know about your passion for the Italian cinema, represented by spaghetti westerns, B-movies, like the sexy comedies, for example. Can you tell us, again, why you love this particular part of Italian cinema?
Well, I'm a fan of genre movies in general, and I'm a fan of, I think what you guys refer to in America as B-movie genre films as well. I've always loved the Italians' take on genre, whether it's spaghetti westerns or macaroni combat movies or giallo films or the peplums. I don't love the peplums as much as the other stuff, all right? But the Italian sex comedies, I love those. And one of the things about, and particularly the spaghetti westerns, is, and I would say the giallos are the same thing, and the polizias are the same things, where they all started off, you know, a lot of the polizias were the jumping off point for them was French Connection or Dirty Harry or something. The jumping off point for the spaghetti westerns were a lot of the westerns of the 50s, but American westerns of the 50s. But then the thing is, the Italians reinvented them, and just the idea of taking old genres and reinventing them in a new way for a new type of audience with a different emphasis, I just love. I mean, I just love. If you can pull it off, I just think it's fantastic. It's a way to have new eyes into a genre. And also, in particularly in the case of the spaghetti westerns, those directors, Leone and Corbucci and Solima and Duccio Tesari and all those guys, you know, almost all of them started off as movie critics and then worked their way into screenwriters and then worked their way into second unit. They were like, you know, they were the guys you hired to deliver the action. And they were absolutely just as passionate and just as in love with cinema as the French New Wave, who started off as critics. And so their complete enthusiasm for the genre is just so just delicious. I don't know another way to say it. But also, the last thing, and to me, it's the thing that makes them Italian as opposed to just somebody else looking at it a different way. There's a commitment to opera in the way they present it. It's bigger. It's larger than life. And now when you're dealing with the scores of the day, well, that's really highlighted. But I love the operatic quality of it. I like the larger than life, the vague surrealism. When I first discovered, after seeing them for the first book I ever read about spaghetti westerns was like around late 79. And it was this book out of England, and it was called Spaghetti Westerns, The Opera of Violence. And I think I've been trying to do the opera of violence my entire career.
Looking back at those years in Hollywood, what did you really change, and what do you think we should regret the most?
To me, cinema is so different from what it was in the 90s when I started, all right? So to just even go back to 1969, you don't know where to start. I mean, frankly, I will say one. There's so many things. Whenever I'm asked a question that so many things come to mind, I usually just grab the first thing that popped into my mind. And it's a little based on what Margot said is, back in those, I guess you'd call those the old days, but even in the 90s, and even into the 2000s, people committed to building sets. It wasn't just going to be added later. I mean, I'd like you watch a Canon movie, or Toby Hooper's Life Force, and it has this magnificent warehouse sets where they create these whole new worlds. I've never seen it when it came out. I watched Rennie Harlan's Cutthroat Island, and it was a pretty good movie, but like in today's world, it's a fantastic movie. They built this entire thing, and they actually, this entire village, and they did these incredible carriage action sequences that they just had to commit to doing. And there was no CGI involved. I mean, it cost a fortune, and it's all on the screen. And now even the big budget movies don't got time for that bullshit. I just think something is just terribly lost. And there's something terribly lost as far as on the picture. There's something terribly lost in the movie, and there's a horrible loss when it comes to craftsmanship. And I feel that is a very, very big danger. One of my biggest pet peeves about digital filmmaking is not just me being an old fart saying I like film better than digital. It is the fact that there's a tremendous amount of craftsmanship to go to light film and get it get through the different processes to capture an image in a beautiful way. It's easy to do on digital. It's even easy to do on film if you're just only planning on going to digital, because a video gives you all these latitudes for color timing and everything. But if you got somebody like Bob Richardson, you got to capture it so good that when it gets through three duplicating processes, that the film print that is eventually showing in the theater is golden and it's fantastic. Well, not a lot of people can't do that. That's what separates the wheat from the chaff, is the people who know how to take the film print to get it through all the different degradations, that what's actually showing on the screen is sparkling and dazzling. And that's a craftsmanship. And it is going away, guys. It is going away. I don't know if cinema can... I don't know if cinema can change history. I think it can influence history.
And we've been talking to Quentin Tarantino right from the press conference of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in Italy, Rome, and this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.